Yelled Ray, as he struggled to keep up with Jeff Spooner's impressive sprintage.
"We've got to get back to the Penguin before they get to Track 8. Which way?"
asked Jeff, looking around like a meerkat. Ray pointed upwards.
"There,"
he called. As the familiar rowing boat shape descended, Jeff let out a whoop of victory. The hatch opened and both men rushed inside, just as they heard the end of Track 7 on the CD. Racing to the flight controls, Ray saw Grid in the pilot's chair.
"Oh, well done, Grid. Now, get off-world as quick as you can go. There's a bunch of emos out there about to come down with a big bang."
Grid pushed the thrusters, sending the ship upwards and outwards toward the safety of Emo Prime's upper atmosphere. Ray slumped in the co-pilot seat and attempted to get his breath back. Jeff went back over to the back of the ship, where he saw Tail looking out of one of the portholes. "Hello, sweetness," he purred, truly happy to see the attractive androidette. Tail looked at him, declining to smile, which Jeff thought was odd. Even odder was the complete absence of abject terror on her faceplate. "What's the matter, babe?" asked Jeff in total puzzlement. Totally out of character, Tailback made a fist and whacked Jeff firmly across the temple. His face had the look of a betrayed man, as he flew across the cabin and collapsed unconscious on the floor. Ray heard the clang of head against metal and looked around to see Jeff in a heap. Then he heard a louder clang as Gridlock rammed his shining dome onto the back of Ray's bonce. Like Jeff, Ray collapsed unceremoniously onto the floor. Gridlock took the pilot's seat again and directed the little craft upwards and outwards. On board the Furious Anger, Kelvin was awaiting the news of the capture of his newly appointed mortal enemies.
"My lord, we have captured the Marshmallow Penguin and its occupants. They are being held in the docking bay and await your arrival."
"Excellent, Commander. I told you it was a good idea to use the robots to do my bidding."
He grinned and strode past the quietly groaning soldier. The cavernous docking bay of the scraggy ship easily held the Penguin, a dozen fighter ships, and 100 armed soldiers, who stood stock still, waiting for their leader to enter. They snapped to attention as the elevator doors hissed open and Kelvin emerged, looking focused, regal, and committed to victory. In front of the captured aircraft sat Jeff and Ray, manacled to large metal armchairs. They groaned as they regained consciousness and felt the cold steel seats bully and chill their aching bodies. Jeff felt a shiver of impending, expectant fear. It meant only one thing. He needed to use the lavatory pretty soon. A distant giggling echoed around the hangar. Both men turned their heads to see where the feeble yet mocking laughter was coming from.
"So, we finally meet,"
declared Kelvin in the most authoritative tone that he could muster. He stood in front of his prisoners and scanned the small spacecraft that sat behind them.
"And this is your vessel, then? Crude, but surprisingly evasive. I'm impressed, gentlemen."
Over the far side of the hangar, there was a large window through which the galactic tax inspectors watched the proceedings. They took notes silently, assessing Kelvin's performance, waiting for a slip. One slip, and they'd depose him and take it all for themselves. Kelvin knew this, and so he had put on his most dictatorial robes of office. He'd resolved to putting on a good show in order to save his authority and his father's reasonably good name from shame.
"And now, my helpless worms, you will give me the universal remote before I have you executed. Listen, mate,
said Jeff.
I don't know who the bleeding hell you are, and frankly, I don't give a monkey's.
Ray shut both of his eyes tightly. No good could come of this. Kelvin looked as surprised as everyone else in the room at this scruffy human's impudence.
You dare to speak to me without permission?
He hissed in anger.
Do you not know who I am?
He added, pointing at his own face to underline the statement.
No, mate. And like I said, I don't give a monkey's. Fact is, you don't know who I am either, do you?
In all honesty, Jeff had no idea what he was doing, but he thought it might buy some time until Ray thought of something. Kelvin was appalled by this total lack of respect. He cast a rapid glance over to the window in which the inspectors were standing and realized he was in danger of being undermined.
Ha!
Mocked Kelvin, trying flippancy as a new approach.
I neither know nor care. But before I reduce you both to your component molecules, allow me to tell you who your master is.
He stepped closer to Jeff, totally ignoring Ray, who had decided to watch the proceedings with just the one eye, and took a deep breath.
I am Lord Rancid III, Supreme Overlord of the Scrag Empire, and you will kneel before me.
Jeff ignored the spittle that had rained onto his face and shook his head in defiance.
Sorry, pal. No can do. What?
Screamed Kelvin, losing more and more self-control by the second.
Are you so eager to die, human?
He asked, finding himself completely confused by the prisoner's insolence.
How am I supposed to kneel when I'm chained to this stupid chair, you nutjob? For your defiance, I shall.
Kelvin stopped. He looked at both the chairs.
Good point. Untie the prisoners so that they may prostrate themselves at my feet,
he declared. Jeff sniggered at the word prostrate and sat back as the soldiers unclipped the metal bindings on both chairs. Ray had decided that stereo vision would be needed, so he opened another eye. Looking up at the red armored guard silently freeing his hands, he smiled a genial smile.
Oh, brilliant. Very kind of you.
And now you will both kneel.
Ray looked at Jeff, expecting more taunts to come tumbling out of his mouth. But to his surprise, Jeff crouched down and knelt as he was told.
Listen,
whispered Jeff from the corner of his mouth.
I'm going to try and get to the ship. Just follow my lead.
Ray had still no idea what to do, and as he was waiting for time to pop a workable idea into Jeff's head, he decided it was best to follow suit.
What is your name, human?
Asked Kelvin.
Spooner. Jeff Spooner.
He felt like James Bond, and had always wanted to introduce himself in such a way. Kelvin raised an eyebrow.
Spooner. And you, my hairy friend, are no mere earthman, are you? Barbare Sprambler-Duck Fastalon Scump?
Ray realized that his reputation had preceded him once again.
You must have known my dad, I suppose.
Nope. But I heard the story of what he did to Queen Shelley of Profania. Very funny, actually. Anyway, I have decreed that... Whoa! Hanger banger, mate. You kill us now, and you'll never get the universal remote, isn't that right, Ray?
He nudged his friend with an elbow.
Ah, yes, the remote. Hand it over, Spooner.
Oh, he's hidden in our ship back there.
Kelvin looked over at the penguin's open hatch and realized that it was an obvious hiding place. He turned to his soldiers.
Why didn't anyone think of searching their ship? You useless cretins! I mean, what is the point of having a task force if I have to do every sodding little task myself?
He was clearly losing his authoritative cool. As if to confirm this, the three tax inspectors strode into the area. They had seen more than enough of this farce and were stepping in. Kelvin jumped when he saw them.
Good. It's all going splendidly, as you can see.
This is the last straw,
said the head of the inspectors, pulling out a freshly sharpened pencil to make some fresh notes.
You're obviously quite incompetent,
he added.
Agreed. Totally unfit to rule,
said another. Kelvin gasped.
We're taking over from here.
The first inspector pulled out a laser pistol and shot Kelvin's commanding officer.
Locate the universal remote, then kill everyone,
he commanded with utter sincerity. Kelvin's heart sank. He knew, deep down, that he wasn't really Overlord material. And though he'd tried his best to be evil, the game was up. He watched as his authority was systematically dissolved by the tall, suited men. Then he regarded the still-kneeling Jeff and Ray and through teary eyes whimpered,
Help me!
The three inspectors marched in unison over to the Marshmallow Penguin and climbed in, preparing to search for the hidden remote. Jeff finally had the idea that he'd been waiting for. And against his better judgment, he called out to Kelvin, feigning desperation.
All right. I'll tell you where it is. Please, have mercy.
He wailed, sounding hammier than a ham sandwich without the bread and butter. And extra ham. Kelvin looked bewildered as Jeff approached him. As soon as he was face to face, Jeff whispered to the frightened ex-dictator,
You help us right now and I'll solve all your problems, deal?
Kelvin knew there was no choice.
All right.
The inspectors began to throw items out of the hatch in their search for the remote, scattering clothes, coins, toilet roll and sweets everywhere. But the head inspector was getting frustrated by the lack of progress.
Keep searching. The quicker we find it, the quicker we eliminate these incompetents.
Ahem. Perhaps I can help?
Said Kelvin, stepping away from Jeff. He approached the ship's hatch.
The human has told me where it's hidden. In exchange for my life, I could...
Tell me, now,
replied the head inspector, clearly not in the mood for nonsense. Kelvin pointed up at the interior ceiling of the craft.
There is their hidden compartment for smuggling, I believe.
The inspector noticed the small hexagonal panel in the ceiling, which swung open when he pushed it. A T-shaped handle hung from the ceiling.
Turn that handle clockwise to open the safe, and the remote will be yours,
said Kelvin, slowly stepping backwards. Kelvin watched as the inspectors gathered around their superior as he took a firm grip on the handle. Kelvin ran away as fast as he could as the inspector twisted the handle as far as he could. The inspectors felt heavy for a brief moment. But this momentary discomfort didn't last long, as the gravity field pressed them into the floor, crushing them to puree with a sickening, crunchy sound. Jeff and Ray turned their heads in disgust at the carnage, and Kelvin threw up all over his commanding officer's tunic.
I don't think they understood the gravity of the situation,
said Jeff, raising a Bond-like eyebrow.
Wait a minute, said Ray.
Where is the remote?
Jeff looked at his friend with a crafty grin creeping across his face, like a slow crack across a frozen pond.
Well, where is it then? Repeated Ray.
Down me pants.
Later on that afternoon, Jeff and Ray had been freed, and their spacecraft was thoroughly cleaned of all remnants of the doomed tax inspectors. Kelvin was overjoyed. It felt as though a great weight had been lifted off his shoulders, now free of any responsibility to his father's memory or a faceless bunch of bean counters, he pondered his future.
You see, said Kelvin,
who had decreed that from this moment on he should be addressed as Kelvin the Reasonable.
I'm not really a bad person. It was just that, being the only heir, I was sort of press-ganged into the family business. I'd rather be more of a laid-back king, not an evil overlord.
Ray patted a friendly hand on the young monarch's shoulder.
And so you shall, my friend. So you shall.
At that moment, a sliding door opened, revealing the Orbots, now fully back in relative control of their faculties. Jeff smiled at Tailback, who smiled back coyly. Gridlock waved at Ray, sniggering quietly. Jeff took a deep breath.
Well, now that's all sorted, we better make tracks then, eh, Ray?
He said, rubbing his palms together, eager to move on.
Wait, implored Kelvin nervously. Oh, what about me? Well, I don't know what I'm going to do from now on.
Ray looked at Jeff standing impatiently by the newly cleaned and repaired spaceship.
I have just the thing, Your Majesty. Wait here a moment, said Ray, walking over to the hatch and reaching inside.
He retrieved a small cardboard box and handed it to Kelvin.
There you go. Your own small business. Scrag's First Royal Hairdressing Salon.
Kelvin pulled out a comb and a hairdryer from the box, tears welling up in his eyes.
Oh, I can't thank you. I just don't know what to say,
he whimpered in bliss.
Oh, you'll pick it up in no time, I'm sure, added Ray.
Kelvin nodded repeatedly, still gazing at the hairstyling products.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, my friends.
He paced around Gridlock in a circle, trying to get the hang of the jargon.
Oh, yes, sir. Certainly, sir. A little off the top. Lovely. Something for the weekend, sir.
Etc. Grid did his best to stifle a smirk. Jeff was pleased for the new king.
All right, now don't go all evil on us again, okay? Because if you do, and I find out, I'll be back to have words, all right?
Kelvin put both hands up.
Oh, you have my word. I wasn't much good at it anyway, to be honest.
Take care, matey, said Jeff, taking Tail back by the arm and heading her towards the ship. Ray shook hands with Kelvin the Reasonable and followed his friend into his craft. Kelvin had a last thought.
Look, come back for free haircuts any time.
Thanks, I will,
said Gridlock, before bursting into laughter.
I don't have any hair. Priceless.
The Marshmallow Penguin lifted off from the docking bay of the Furious Anger and glided out into open space. Ray operated the charts and plotted a course to the Methuselah system, aided by Gridlock in the co-pilot seat.
What's Earth like?
Asked Tailback, genuinely curious. Jeff realized that it was probably one of the hardest questions to answer.
Well, I suppose it's a nice place. Well, there's a couple of wars, pollution, a bit of terrorism. Crime is a pain. Injustice, racism, dishonesty. Well, and obviously millions of starving people, but the views are nice.
He stopped to reconsider his statement. I didn't paint a very good picture, really, did I?
No. I'd be terrified of it. Can we not go there, Jeff?
Asked Tailback, shuddering to underline the seriousness of her feelings. Jeff noticed something about the female Orbot. She hadn't freaked out at all since Kelvin's computer systems had hacked into her mind. He tested his theory.
Boo!
Yelled Jeff unexpectedly. Tailback hardly flinched.
Steady on,
came the voice of Ray from up front. Tailback cocked her head in that cute way.
What was that all about?
She asked.
I wanted to see if it had frightened you, replied Jeff. It looks like you're cured.
Tailback took a second to comprehend.
Cured? Oh! This is illogical! It's wonderful! I think it was the influence of the virus that the Scraggy ship uploaded to me. It must have removed my phobias!
Jeff smiled back.
Well, it was worth it then, to see you straightened out, babe.
In answer, Tailback leaned forward and kissed Jeff. She didn't know why she did it, as she previously saw it as a pointless exercise. As for Jeff, he was a little taken aback, but it didn't put him off. As before, it felt unlike a real kiss, just cold and smooth to him, as if he'd kissed a marble statue. But he could tell there was more to it than just a physical act. And that was what made it special. A kiss with a reason behind it made all the difference.
Thank you,
said Tail, resuming her walk towards the cockpit. Jeff stood there, entranced, unblinking. His fingers touched his cold lips. Oh my God, I'm in love with a robot. Dear me, look at the time. Well, I'm sorry to say that, as always, time, space and antimatter-fueled gravitic anomalies are against us. Well, I don't have the time for all of the details here, I'm afraid, but if you want to discover the full story, I'm sure there's a printed, uncensored version available near your system. Why not pick one up? Oh, go on. You'll be glad you did. Suffice to say that after a few minor life and cosmos-threatening situations, Jeff and Ray managed to successfully deliver the universal remote and ensure its safety, along with the safety of the entire universe. Again. As this particular tale carries the title Kangazang, I'm sure you'll want to know what happened when our heroes finally arrived at their journey's end. Well, I know I do. Still sitting comfortably? Excellent. Here we go, then. This was the life. This, at long last, was Kangazang. The sea itself was bright yellow, viscous like custard but warm and inviting. It bubbled and flopped over in thick, rippling waves. The beach sparkled, made up of billions of tiny ball bearings that rattled when walked upon. Exotic purplish trees sprung up all over the place, providing cool patches of shade under their long leafy fronds. Between two of them stretched a hammock, in which Jeff lay, replete in Hawaiian shirt and shorts, sucking the last of his cocktail through a straw. This was the best holiday he'd ever had. Here, Ray, you want to have a drink, matey? He asked, calling out to his friend. Ray was playing table tennis on the beach with Gridlock. Both players had a paddle in each hand, and even though Grid was a computer with lightning-sharp reflexes, Ray was by far the better player. Grid didn't mind, though. The more he lost, the more he laughed. Watching the game avidly beside the table was a fluffy pink and yellow penguin called Tanya, the original marshmallow penguin.
Yeah, please, I'll be over in a minute, replied Ray, serving another devastating volley of ping-ponging.
Jeff turned round and called to the straw beach hut.
Tail, a couple more of these, please, love.
Coming up, sweetie.
Tailback emerged from the hut, wearing a coloured sarong and supporting a set of new bronze body plates. She thought it'd resemble a human tan more than her usual white and chrome, and she was right. She looked like a golden goddess. She handed Jeff his drink and planted a kiss on his lips. The sun had warmed her up a treat.
Ow! Ooh, hot lips, said Jeff with a chuckle.
Tail went off to hand Ray his drink, and Jeff couldn't help but watch as she shimmied across the silver sands. If someone had told him a week ago that he'd be drinking cocktails served to him by an android, who was also his new girlfriend, lying on a hammock on a beach that was 1,000 light years from Earth, he would have laughed his head off. But there he was, with everything he'd ever wanted, and it felt good. Ray took his drink and walked back over to Jeff, followed by the waddling penguin. Swaying in his hammock, Jeff removed his shades as he saw Ray approach.
So, how are you finding it then?
I told you it was a nice place.
Awesome, mate. Just perfect. Got me a drink, got me girl, and got me friends around. What more could a bloke want?
Tailback indicated the beach barbecue, which gently smoked in the distance.
I think the kebabs are ready too.
Music to an earthling's ears. Jeff sighed in utter contentment. He raised his drink.
Cheers, everybody.
Suddenly, the custard-like sea began to bubble ferociously and erupt. Everyone spun around to see a huge metallic lozenge emerge from the liquid. It was covered in small indentations, and Jeff recognized it as the shape of a monkey nut shell. Only this nut was over 100 feet long. A loud voice boomed out over the bubbling sea, shaking the trees as it rumbled.
People of Kangasai, you are now prisoners of the armed forces of Macadamia. Your land and riches are now our property, and any resistance will be crushed. So says our great prophecy.
Ray was far from intimidated. After all he'd been through, a giant talking nutshell wasn't going to frighten him easily. He grinned a confident grin.
Oh, I don't think so. How about we show these nutjobs who's boss around here, eh, Jeff?
Jeff? Ray turned to see Jeff running away across the beach as fast as possible, with Tailback following after him. Ray sighed.
Wait for me, he yelled.